We are talking about a really interesting, important, worrying, and a very complex issue today. Complex also because it's filled with data. So at many points, I will mention data to you, and I'm trying to simplify it as much as possible, only to pick up highlight points to make the larger analytical point. But wherever needed, there will be graphics. There will be graphics that you can refer to, and I will also share links with you where you can check out other data in more detail. So what is the question? The question is, does your caste, even your religion, your social status determine how long do you live? Now we know generally that the rich might be able to live longer than the poor. That is sort of conventional wisdom, because the rich get better medical care, better nutrition, better, etc., 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 unless they do something really bad, drink or smoke something really bad, and make sure that they die early. But those are exceptions. But what if your caste, your religion, your ethnicity, where you come from, determines in India how long do you live? So there is this very disturbing research that shows you that in India, even now, in India of the 21st century, the scheduled castes live shorter lifespans than upper castes, that other backward castes live a lifespan between upper castes and scheduled castes, and scheduled tribes in most parts of India are doing the worst of all. They are the worst off. So the upper castes, men as well as women, live longer, much longer than scheduled castes, in most cases much longer, even longer than scheduled tribes, and OBCs are in the middle. So our longevity data, how long we live, is also determined in many ways by where do we belong on the social pyramid. Sounds odd? You might again say, oh, that's because some people are richer, some people are poorer. It isn't that. This data cuts across those lines. So this is purely determined, or mostly determined, by your caste, ethnicity, religious status. And that's very interesting. It's not also not some fly-by-night or overnight research. This is a bunch of researchers. I will give you their names. These researchers are based not in India. These researchers are based, they are of Indian origin, obviously, but based at different campuses across the world. So the first one is Ashish Gupta. Ashish Gupta is the David E. Bell Fellow at Harvard Center for Population and Development Studies. The second is Nikhil Sundaranan. He is Assistant Professor for Behavioral Sciences for Disease Prevention and Healthcare at Technical University of Munich. So it draws essentially from two sources, primarily from National Family Health Survey Series 2 and Series 4. So Series 2 was 97-98, Series 4 is 2015-16. There is a reason why they haven't taken Series 1 and 3. Series 1 did not ask question on the caste, and Series 2 did not ask question on mortality. The question meaning, who has died, has anybody died in the past 3 years in your family? So that is the reason NFHS 1 and 3 have not been counted. But 2 and 4 have been counted. But this is also useful because between 2 and 4, you have a 20-year gap. So you have a 20-year period to look at. So what do these researchers say? This paper is published in Population and Development Review, which is a reputed journal. These authors give us data on who lives longer, who lives shorter lives. They also give you some hypothesis on why it might be the case, but that requires more research. And credit where it's due. I got focused on this because I read a story in the Times of India by Rima Nagarajan quoting this survey. And in fact, once I read the story, of which I'll share a link with you, I found the mention of this paper, and I had my colleague Sukriti Vats pull out the paper. And then that's when we looked at the basic data, the base detailed data, and came up with these findings for you. And these are very, very significant. And it is sad that well into the 21st century, we still have such social, ethnic, and caste differences in the basic determinant of quality of life. That means people of the so-called lower castes or deprived castes and ethnicities, that is tribal communities, live shorter lives than upper castes. Now, if you see this gap, The authors tell us that there was a gap in 97-2000, that period. The gap still exists in 2013-16 phase. That's what NFHS-4 looks at. But more importantly, the gap has not narrowed. The gap has widened. So if the gap, say, in the 1997-2000 period, say, was 3x, that is 3 years, today it might be 3.5x or 3.5 years. Everything has improved in terms of average life expectancy. Every Indian is living longer than he or she did in 97-2000. But the social gap, the socio-ethnic gap, has actually increased instead of narrowing. That says something also about our politics and about the measures that have been taken, including affirmative action, to fix this. Obviously, whatever has been done so far has not worked fully, and a lot more needs to be done. It doesn't mean that less needs to be done. It means that a lot more needs to be done. Now, there are significant differences. The other important finding of the research is that normally we would have said conventional wisdom was that, all right, some sections of the society, or deprived sections of the society, or the poorer sections of the society, or the rural sections of the society, they on an average live less long, or the average life expectancy is distorted by the fact, obvious fact, that they have much higher infant mortality rate. That means people dying, babies dying under the age of 5 is much longer. What this research now tells us is that weightage is there, but that isn't the only determinant. So even if you count people from the age of 15 onwards, or even 60 onwards, there is still that distinction. So it's not just as you're carrying the base effect of the difference in infant mortality rate at birth, right up to right through your lifetime, which means if Dalits have infant mortality, which is 4x compared to upper caste, which may be 2x or 3x, then that difference will carry on. It isn't just that. Whether you cut it at infancy, that is under 5, at the age of 5, or at 15, or at 16. If anything, at older ages, the difference widens, it exacerbates. So it isn't just how many might survive childbirth, or how many might survive the first few difficult years after childbirth. It's also a case of what quality of life you have as you are growing older. So that is why it becomes even more significant. There are also regional variations and also some surprises, some surprises against conventional wisdom. If you look at the 97-2000 data, for example, you will see that Muslims there are just below upper castes in terms of their life expectancy. That was partly explained. This was called the Muslim mortality paradox, that Muslims generally have a much higher level of deprivation than upper castes. And yet, how come their life expectancy is about the same? If you find me scratching myself here and there, I'm not standing in India. This is Singapore, very humid, and there are lots of mosquitoes here. Although I see occasionally there's a robot who you will see crawling the gardens to try and take them out. Nevertheless, in 97-2000, there was a very minor gap, and this was a surprise. So in the academic world, it was called the Muslim mortality paradox. And then there was just a hypothesis that this is happening because Muslims have much less infant mortality. Between birth and the age of 5, a lot more Muslim babies survive than even upper caste babies. That was partly ascribed, again hypothetically, to better hygiene, to use of formal toilets instead of open defecation, and maybe some other factors which had not been established. That's why Muslim mortality paradox. Now it looks like that is over. The Muslim advantage is now gone, and the gap in life expectancy between Muslims and the upper castes is also rising. This survey divides us Indians into 5 categories. That is upper castes, scheduled castes, between them other backward castes, scheduled tribes, and then Muslims. So if you look at all of these, between 2013-16, that is the latter data, for women, the gap has increased from 4.2 years in survival between upper castes and scheduled castes, from 4.2 years to 4.5 years. And for men, it has increased from 6.1 years to
7 years. Big difference.
As we go ahead, it's also important for us to see where this data has come from and where this has been rechecked. There are two such sources of data in India. One, of course, is NHFS. NHFS-5, in fact, is in the works. We've got one part, more is to come in, and we are watching for it. So one is National Family Health Survey, which is quite extensive. The other is SRS, or what is called as sample registration system, because deaths in India are not registered so comprehensively. That's why there is a sampling done, and that is considered to be as authentic as the data you can get in India. Importantly, the authors have figured that both data, when plotted together, give you about the same results with minor differences, usually mostly at the infant mortality level. Otherwise, overall, they give you about the same data. So that is one more evidence that this data should be taken as reasonably authentic. Now, in 97-98, if you look at the data, at birth, that is up to the age of 5, the gap between various groups was much larger. It was quite large. So if you looked at women, upper caste women at birth lived till 64.4 years. Tribal women at birth lived at 57 years. So that is a difference of 7.4 years. That is upper caste women and tribal women 20 years back, between 1997 and 2000. For men in that period, the gap was 8.3 years between upper caste men and scheduled tribesmen. That is 62.9 and 54.6. That looks quite stark. So if this was the situation for tribals, between upper caste and tribals, what was the equation between upper caste and scheduled caste? Upper caste women in 97-2000 lived 6.2 years longer on an average than scheduled caste women, and men lived on an average 4.5 years longer than scheduled caste men. Again, OBCs, it's very interesting because OBCs everywhere feature in the middle of upper castes and scheduled castes, which means your longevity pyramid fully reflects your caste pyramid. So OBCs live till 61, women, and men 60.5. Whereas, as we just told you, women, upper caste women in 97-2000 lived till 64.4 and men 62.9. So OBCs 61 and 60.5. And you can see that scheduled castes are much lower than that. Now, this is life expectancy at birth. So you might say, oh, this only happens because poorer people, rural people lose many more babies, or much fewer survive till the age of 5. But that isn't quite true, because look at the data at age 15, life expectancy at the age 15 and 60. By this time, whoever did not survive until 5 did not survive until 5. So these are people who survived past 5 years and are then being calculated from the age of 15 and the age of 60. So difference here for women at the age of 15 is 5 years. 5 years, right? The difference for men, life expectancy at the age of 15 is 3.2 years. At the age of 60, for women, the difference between upper caste women and scheduled caste women is 2.6 years. That means upper caste women, even after turning 60, live 2.6 years longer. For women, it's 2.8 years. So this is quite uniform. So it's not as if we are cherry picking or picking and choosing. What is the change between 1997-2000 to 2013-16? That's interesting. Overall, life expectancy has improved across all sectors, across all strata. But the gap, as we told you earlier, has not narrowed across all social strata and across all age groups, that is starting at 5, 15, 60, anything. Everywhere the gap has increased, and you can see this data in the charts that we will keep sharing with you. Now, in 2013-16, upper caste women lived 4.4 years longer than scheduled caste women at birth. That is when a female baby was born in an upper caste family and a scheduled caste family, a female baby was expected to live 4.4 years longer. It was 7% lower for scheduled tribes, right? Scheduled tribes were doing even worse. And there's a little twist there to which I'll come towards the end. Then if you see the difference between men, upper caste and scheduled caste, it was about the same kind of difference. Now, that is very surprising, authors note,
Because in America, the opposite has happened. Americans also had this big embarrassing difference between the life expectancy of the white population and the black population. That has narrowed greatly. In 2000, it was 7 years. In 2015, it had come down to 3.4 years. And this is data from America's National Center for Health Statistics. And that is when Americans, on an average, in every ethnic group, live longer than fellow Indians. Now, I told you earlier that about Muslims, there is a surprise now. In the later survey, in the 2016-17 period, it does look like the advantage that our Muslim population had at birth, that they had more babies surviving till the age of 5, that advantage has been lost. Now, if you want to be hasty, you can jump to the conclusion, oh, that means Muslims have got poorer, or Muslims have become less careful about their hygiene or toilet use, or whatever was giving them disadvantage. But maybe a more charitable explanation is that better infant and maternal care has reached other communities, particularly upper castes in rural India. And that is what has narrowed this gap. So if you see the gap now, in 1997-2000, the gap for female children between Muslims and upper castes was 2.5 years. That means female babies born in upper caste families lived 2.1 years less. Now that has come down to only about 0.3 years, which is really insignificant. So you can see life expectancy at birth for upper caste babies and Muslim babies has narrowed greatly between 97 and 2000 and now 2013 and 16. If you look at other categories, then at the age of 15, 6 years, this has narrowed to 2.6 for women and just 0.4 for men. Very significant. I told you that for at birth overall, it was 2.1 for women and 0.3 for men, which also is insignificant. And this narrowing of the gap, and you can see the data on my screen, this narrowing of the gap is now making Muslim males live considerably shorter lives than Hindu upper caste males. So the Muslim male, on an average, in this period, 2013-16, had the life expectancy of 66.8 years, whereas the Hindu upper caste men lived 2.6 years longer. For women, Muslim women had 69.4 years, which is 2.8 years less than Hindu upper caste women. So that is the big difference here. Now, finally, since I told you about regional disparities, look at these maps, which we are borrowing straight from the author's paper. And you can see that these maps are color-coded. If you compare scheduled caste and higher caste women, you can see all of the Bimaru states, the heart of India, painted deep red. That is where the biggest gap between life expectancy between upper caste women and scheduled caste women is. Once again, if you see higher caste women and scheduled tribe women, then you come to central India's tribal zones, Madhya Pradesh, Chhattisgarh, Jharkhand, parts of Odisha. Those are the ones which have the highest disparity. And I told you there was a twist, and I will come to the twist in just a second. Then you see scheduled caste and high caste, upper caste males. So you see in Bimaru states, usual suspects, that is Bihar, Madhya Pradesh, Uttar Pradesh, Rajasthan, and you add in Chhattisgarh and Jharkhand because they were part of Madhya Pradesh and Bihar earlier. Things haven't improved that radically there at a social level. But I am also surprised that this graphic paints even the southern states in the same colors, that is Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, Andhra, Kerala, most of Telangana. And that's a surprise that there too, the gap between life expectancy for upper caste men and scheduled caste men remains quite high. Then if you compare Muslims and upper castes, once again, the distinction or the bad states are the Bimaru states and then also Maharashtra and Gujarat. That's very interesting. I thought that at least in Maharashtra, they might have been doing much better, but they are not. I don't know why. These are things that people need to find out going ahead. Now, if you look at scheduled tribe and upper caste men, then again, the graphic is not very different. The map is not very differently color-coded than, say, the map for women. it's about the same tribal states in heartland India show this big distinction. You can see how dark, how deep this is. And then finally, the twist. Look at this map of India. Look at any of these maps that we have taken from this paper. Every map tells you that the region of India where these gaps are the lowest or non-existent is actually the Northeast. Why is it so? Because a lot of scheduled tribes live in the Northeast. Scheduled tribes in the Northeast, unlike scheduled tribes in the central, East Central tribal India, that is Chhattisgarh, Jharkhand, Odisha, etc., they are at the upper level of the social pyramid. And that's the reason they have high life expectancies, in some cases even higher than upper caste Hindus there. So those are things that make us understand our country a little bit better. And these also tell you that while we have made a lot of improvements, we still have a long way to go. And I will just conclude by quoting something that the authors have picked up from Ambedkar's writings. And this is a quote from Ambedkar from about 60 years ago, the authors say, and I quote, "The health of the untouchable is the care of nobody." That was his lament then. "The health of the untouchable is the care of nobody. Indeed, the death of an untouchable is regarded as good riddance." So 60 years after he said so, should it continue to be so? That is something that we need to reflect on.